decisive day. I'm Therese Crowley, Fox News. This afternoon brings the final deadline for a massive crypto transfer set in a ransom note by purported kidnappers demanding it to spare the life of Nancy Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie and her siblings posting they will pay to get their 84-year-old mother back.
We received your message and we understand.
As law enforcement searched all weekend for evidence at the Guthrie's Tucson homes.
Not a lot of activity at Nancy Guthrie's house in Tucson. Investigators back on the property looking at some sort of drain outlet. They were putting some long device down into the drain. We don't know, obviously, whether they were looking for a particular item or whether they were taking samples. We saw a couple of law enforcement agents at the Pima County Sheriff's Department walking in with what appeared to us to be some sort of blueprint or map. They spent about 30 minutes inside. Then they came back out, drove off somewhere. Well, we've now seen stills of what looked like a very similar map or blueprint hanging from one of the evidence collection vehicles at the command center.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. The tip line is 1-800-CALL-FBI. Stocks surge in Japan after a landslide weekend election.
Japan's vote of confidence in Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi is being echoed in Tokyo's financial markets, the Nikkei 225 index reaching a record high. Takaichi's LDP party won a two-thirds supermajority in Sunday's election, the first time that's happened since Japan's current parliament was established in 1947. Takaichi called the snap election last month, having only taken office in October. A campaigner for traditional values, she's been endorsed by President Trump. Japan's first female prime minister campaigned on a promise to cut taxes and boost Japan's economy through.
U.S. markets opened slightly lower after Friday's huge leap to Dow 50,000. America's listening to Fox News.
Let me share Brian's story. He's in Alabama, and he wrote in, he said, Glenn, after taking Relief Factor for just 3 weeks, at least 90% of my pain is gone. My pain had started to limit me at work and at home, and I am amazed at the relief that I have gotten. Those are Brian's own words, and they speak volumes about what Relief Factor can do. And I've seen that kind of transformation in myself, and hearing Brian's experience reinforces why I take endorsing Relief Factor so seriously. Before I started taking Relief Factor myself, I was losing hope that I could ever have a normal life again. My hands were in so much pain. It's created by doctors, 100% drug-free product using four key ingredients. It supports the body's natural inflammatory response. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and like Brian and me, over two-thirds of these people go on to order more month after month. So don't wait. If you're dealing with pain, launch your three-week quick start and see what Relief Factor can do for you. Call 800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Don't wait anymore. Feel what it's like to be out of pain. 1-800-4-RELIEF.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Murray. Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo hosted the annual Horseman's Banquet. The banquet is put on every year to thank Silver Spur Rodeo Committee sponsors for their support. Silver Spur Rodeo says with the continued support, they are keeping Western heritage alive and growing in Yuma, Arizona. Silver Spur Rodeo would like to remind everyone that the rodeo kicks off Friday the 13th and runs through Sunday the 15th. Locals across Yuma County brought their pets to Council Avenue Park over the weekend. The city of Somerton hosted Pet Palooza 2026, which took place at 9 a.m. where pet owners got the chance to get a pet license during the event. Not only that, but attendees got their pets vaccinated, met with city animal control teams and their community partners, and enjoyed food and beverages. There were also fun activities and contests for pets and the owners to participate in during the annual event. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Beautiful day today with 86, the high this afternoon with sunshine. A few clouds and 53 tonight. Increasing clouds on Tuesday with a high of 80, 57 Tuesday night. Cloudy and cooler on Wednesday with a high of 75.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
The Ramsey Show.
How much are you paying a month in child care?
$25,000 per kid. Our child care costs are about $80,000 a year.
Wait, are they going to Harvard? We're going to take out student loans for the four-year-old.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 on 560 KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
What's been on your mind lately?
What's been on my mind lately?
I don't have any more food in my face, do I?
No, I think you're clean. I think you got it.
All right.
Food's always on my mind. No, I just turned 49 years old. So, of course, life and death, maybe you could say the law, been on my mind quite a bit. So it's my last year in my 40s, and I'm hoping to squeeze every bit of life out of it.
You just got back from an adventure.
Which one?
Didn't you go? I thought you were out of town here last week.
We did go out of town. We went to the central coast of California, a place called, they call it the Five Cities. So it's several little beach towns all kind of connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Avila Beach, Grover Beach, there's some Pismo Beach, and there's two more that I'm missing. But it's kind of where Rachel grew up in the Central Valley, it was their San Diego. So when you wanted to get away for the weekend, it's a couple hours to the coast, and you go over there, and it's cliffs and rocks and cold water, but pretty, and it's kind of like ag-centric.
Uh-huh.
It is the Central Valley still. And so you'll have kind of, it's like a farming community, but with a beach. So that was kind of cool. But we went there. Rachel's cousin is going through chemo for cancer. And Rachel went to help out, spent the week there helping her. And then I was like, well, I've never seen that part of California. So I just flew up for the weekend. It was just a quick up and back. But
yeah.
But beautiful, beautiful place. You know, just really nice. I'd like to go back and spend a little more time. But a beautiful place. And, you know, we got to see family and friends and spend time with them. So it was a nice slow weekend. It was nice.
So I had a little epiphany. We're studying right now the Old Testament and the creation of man, God's commandments to people that obey the commandments, thrive, become incredibly wealthy, civilization increases and advances, and then people that disobey his commandments, they fall into chaos, there's warfare, and there's destruction, and it's this pattern that keeps repeating and repeating, and we haven't figured it out yet. We keep repeating it today. And thinking a little bit about the Tower of Babel, like what were they thinking trying to create this huge tower to get into heaven? And some scholars think that it may have been a temple, an unauthorized by God temple in a manner to get to heaven without, you know, his permission. And other think that it was a literal just trying to get up to the sky and walk back into heaven. I don't know which one it was. Either way, it was people and majority of the civilization operating contrary to what God wanted them to do and trying to accomplish immortality without following the plan that he had set out for them. And I was thinking, do we do that today? Do we build any towers to try to get into heaven? And what came to mind was SpaceX. Because what SpaceX is ultimately, we've known this for, you know, decades, that Elon Musk wants to colonize other planets, first and foremost Mars, and perhaps the moon. And that is a way to perpetuate civilization and achieve some sense of immortality, in that our species will continue on indefinitely, even after the Earth is exhausted and worn out. And I thought that's a version of a Tower of Babel. I don't think that, and of course, the wicked never do think this, that they're wicked, right?
Sure.
But I think that if you invested solely in that and ignored the spiritual aspect of life and who our Creator is and how we become more like Him and return to Him, then we would seek our own means of achieving that immortality, which is in us. It's this innate type of drive to continue our species. And I thought, well, if we get a lot of cool advanced technology from it, and for that purpose, it's good. But if we lose everything else in the pursuit of it, then what's the purpose?
Yeah.
Have you thought of it that way? Am I way off?
I don't know that you're way off. I think it's, well, as far as man or humankind exhausting the earth, for me, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I think for me, that implies that God didn't plan for any of this, or didn't plan for the earth to have this many people on it.
Sure, but somebody who is planning on colonizing other planets, this planet's got plenty of space left to develop and assist in the continuation of human life and all other forms of life, much more than Mars. I mean, there's a lot less work to be done in Death Valley to create, you know, a civilization than another planet. But he's choosing this other planet because I think he foresees the Earth not being able to sustain, or at least the population growing to the extent that, you know, that's our destiny.
Right. And I guess that's where I depart a little bit from Elon, in that, you know, I believe the Earth will sustain life until God doesn't want it to anymore. And then we don't have a say in it anymore. Whether we take off and go live on another planet, he'll still find us. So it's
right
to me, it doesn't, you know, should we focus on that, or should we focus on improving our life here?
Well, I don't want to cut you off, but I want to, you and I both believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for someone that may not believe in God, but wants to achieve immortality, then let's put it into their perspective. How would you achieve it? Like, what nobody can really get into Elon's head, but if we were to attempt to, why is this ambition to get to Mars so insatiable?
I think there's an innate need in us to, I mean, ever since we explored, right? We wanted to see what was around the corner, what was not, you know, discover what was not seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think about that today, you know, has anyone else ever been here? Am I the first person to ever touch this rock or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a romanticism with exploring, going somewhere you've never been, being the first one there. You know, that's exciting, and it drives us. I don't know. I mean, has he thought past beyond just getting there?
Well, yeah.
You get there. I mean, we all saw The Martian, right? That's...
It didn't end well.
Well, it ended good for everybody, but, you know, that was rough. That was a rough, edge of a knife. No. You know, and they had, you know, it was just a small group of people. So imagining a civilization with giving birth and kids running around and everything, you know,
yeah.
Oh, don't touch the plastic sheet. You'll kill us all, you know? So it's hard to imagine living somewhere that does not want you there. You know, we would have an easier chance, I think, living under the sea,
right?
Building under the sea, farming under the sea, create bubbles, you know, where Jar Jar Binks lived or whatever, create a civilization down there, in my mind, would seem easier than living in a place where you could be melted and fried and a vacuum sucks all the life out of everything in an instant.
I get all of that instantaneously, and I am far from being genius, but why then is one of the smartest men of our not only our day, but maybe the century, trying to pursue that.
Well, I think, like you said, I've listened to interviews with him. And
he is trying to colonize.
He genuinely believes that at some point for our species to continue, we will have to leave Earth.
Yeah.
Earth will not sustain life at some point.
Right.
Again, that's where we differ, because I believe, you know,
but let's
God has planned for all this, sure, and the Earth will sustain life as long as God wants it to.
So do you see, so you don't make the connection of the Tower of Babel aspect? Like, we're going to
Well, if they built the Tower of Babel because they could, then yeah, I believe that. I think Elon goes to Mars because he can't.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I had access to those kinds of funds, I mean, I'd be going on adventures.
But he's been trying to do this before he had those funds.
Well, sure. I think that's what drives him. I'm guessing there's probably almost for him a religious aspect to it, save humanity aspect to it.
But faith in humanity's ability to do
it. Right, that we're going to solve it.
Rather than faith in what the creator had in mind for us.
Yeah, and along the way, he's making innovations that is making our life here that much better.
Absolutely. You know? And I drive a Tesla, and I'm not
embarrassed. Internet all over the world, you know, from the satellite launches that he's testing the rockets. You know, think about transport and deliveries happening in minutes rather than days and days on railroads and trucks. You can launch something to the other side of the world and deliver a product or a load on the other side of the world and have it come back in minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of that is our technological advances that help our lives here be more productive, enjoyable, you know, easier.
And for that, I appreciate him immensely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like anybody's religion or lack thereof is 100% up to them. And I will respect that and defer to their ability to choose who they want to follow or not on their own. And the benefits that he has provided to our society are incalculable. Right now, he is writing history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he probably single-handedly saved free speech by the purchase of Twitter. He probably prevented the conquering of Ukraine mm-hmm. by providing them communications through Starlink and all of these things. And a lot of things that are pushed under the rug because once he joined forces with Donald Trump, then his contribution got minimalized.
Yeah.
But if you think about how he's going about all the different companies that he has, one of the companies that is easily overlooked is the Boring Company. And so it's this, they've been trying to bore giant tunnels mm-hmm. for decades, and generally it would cost like $1 billion.
Isn't he trying to connect like L.A. and New York underground?
Well, yes, certainly on the West Coast already. He's trying to connect the West Coast cities. I didn't know he was going to go all the way across the continent.
I think there's some ultimate plan. Now, in Vegas, you can ride in a little bit of it.
Exactly. But so what he's done with it is similar to space travel. Space travel, he's reduced the cost of space travel mm-hmm. by 1,000%.
By being able to
reuse the boosters.
Reuse the rockets.
Yeah. And with the Boring Company, it used to be $1 billion per mile that they could bore underground and then use a tunnel for traffic. He's reduced it to $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's a reduction of 1,000%. This makes it doable.
The ultimate recycler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so by being able to do these types of things now think about it. He's boring tunnels underground. He's making cars that work off of not combustion, right? The fossil fuel part of it is one aspect, but he doesn't want combustion and it needs to work off of batteries. Combustion doesn't work in Mars
mm-hmm.
as the colonization gets established or the colonies are built because the atmosphere isn't developed yet. You know, you don't have the dome yet. And even when you do have the dome, you're going to want to probably limit the
amount of
consumption.
Fire,
yeah.
Explosion.
Exactly. Yeah. Of the oxygen that's there. And so operating off of battery power, operating off of solar panels, Mm-hmm. And, you know, he operating off of batteries for houses and things like that. All of those things tie in. Then you look at the spaceships themselves and the super heavies that bring huge loads into space, and we'll be able to bring cargo to Mars and then accelerate the speed of it the way that mm-hmm. he's been able to do that. All of that has been able to advance my life, your lifestyle, and those of most of the people on Earth, and that's good. So we kind of just kind of look past the ultimate goal. But if you connect all those dots, he hasn't lost sight of his ultimate vision,
right?
And a lot of people just chalk it off, say, "Well, he's crazy," and move on. But it occurred to me as I'm reading the Bible, this has happened before, that we've tried to get to somewhere that wasn't really in the books for us to get there. And I would love to have seen what they accomplished with the Tower of Babel. I've seen depictions of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the drawings and what it might
have
looked like.
How far did they get?
Exactly. And it was probably pretty dang impressive to the civilization at the time. It probably would have been impressive to us today.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also the home of expert spray and bed liners, spraying mil-spec protective coatings, committed to unwavering excellence and unparalleled customer service. Expert liners, with available national warranty coverage and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray on team at Truckmates. Truckmates is also the home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And don't forget 3M window tinting, the originators of window tinting with nationwide lifetime warranty at Truckmates. That's expert spray and bed liners, BDS suspensions, 3M window tinting, and Snug Top, all at Truckmates. 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
From the Saturday Evening Post, this is the Post Perspective for February 9th. For hundreds of thousands of years, everyone was their own weatherman. If you wanted to know what weather you could expect, you could only rely on conventional wisdom, proverbs, or just looking up in the sky. Not until the mid-1800s did scientific weather predicting become possible. The new telegraph system enabled observers to report real-time weather conditions across the country. Their reports were assembled by the Smithsonian Institute, which prepared weather maps. And then today, in 1870, President Grant signed the Weather Bureau into existence, though its original title was the U.S. Army Signal Services Division of Telegrams and Reports for the Benefit of Commerce and Agriculture. The science of meteorology has steadily improved over the past century and a half. Our three-day weather forecasts are extremely accurate and able to predict temperatures within 1 to 2 degrees and rainfall within a few tenths of an inch. There's more from the Post at SaturdayEveningPost.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
And I see SpaceX as being similar to that. I follow SpaceX. I'm looking forward to the time that it becomes public. I will invest in it. I invest in Tesla. And So all of this to say, are we losing our religion with technology? And is Elon Musk our prophet, if that's the case?
I think there's a wide swath of the world that would agree. We've talked before on this show that, you know, these things are phones and AI, and is something that people turn to when they need information or answers, or now even comfort. If they need comfort or some sort of consoling opinion or boost, they don't drop to their knees and say a prayer. Mm-hmm. They ask AI, you know, what can I do to cheer myself up or what, you know? And so, yes, you could easily turn where we used to turn to God. We're turning to technology, and it's because it's instantaneous, right? Mm-hmm. It's super fast. In most cases, it's learning about you. It knows probably what you want to hear. So it's computing all that and then spitting it back out to you. Whereas when you turn to God, it might take a while. You know, it's on His time. It's not on bullet time like the phones and everything are. So yeah, I think we're definitely at a point in our civilization similar to probably how they were when they decided to build the Tower of Babel. I'm tired of waiting on God. I'm gonna go knock on His door. So let's mm-hmm. start building a tower and get there.
Yeah.
You know, so like you say, it probably is it's a revolving, you know, situation to where I'm not getting the responses that work for me as fast as I need them. So let's speed this up. Let's build a tower. Maybe if I pray from higher up, it's less distance. You know, maybe if I launch a satellite into space, then God will hear me there because it'll relay it deeper into space. So
along the line,
I think it's similar. I can see the connection you're trying to make.
Yeah, and I think along the line of trying to accomplish it, you start being impressed with what is being done.
Sure.
And then you forget that the God equation part of it is even there. You right. start to worship the products of your own hands.
Right.
And that is where we've seen, you know, one of the first commandments is that we shouldn't worship any other gods right. or idols.
Yeah.
And when we're starting to worship technology and everything that we can make,
mm-hmm.
then that is the sense of idol worship, and it replaces God.
When Moses went to Sinai and people were looking around and going, well, where's our prophet? I need some answers.
Uh-huh.
They decided to build their own, you know, golden calf. Well, let's pray to this. You mm-hmm. know, we'll make that happen. And there's still people that do that today, you know, that build these golden calves and pray to them and expect an answer and all these things. And it, you know, who's to tell them they're wrong if they truly believe in it, if they're actually receiving benefit from those practices. Maybe there were some architectural advances that came from building the Tower of Babel. Look, we can don't live in any caves anymore. We can build these things.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, if they were to see our skyscrapers today, they would probably say, that's it. That's what we were trying to do. You know, mm-hmm. we're trying to do it out of sticks and rocks. And here you've done it out of steel. But I think man or humankind always is trying to break into somewhere new, find some new ground, find some new territory, find some new answer to the life they're living. Otherwise, we would have stopped, right?
Yeah.
As soon as we were able to keep the rain off, ultimately, we would have stopped.
Yeah. We'd
have been like, that's good enough.
Happiness comes from satisfaction in what you're doing
mm-hmm.
or, you know, piling on the instant gratification so it's so close together that you never just sit down and reflect upon who you are and what your relationship is with your creator. And so then the more you do that, the more tone deaf you become
right.
to the actual correspondence that is coming from our creator and what direction you should be heading. And I think that is true even among the people that purport to be religious outwardly, where they're studying their scripture in a hurry by putting it on audiobooks and then putting it on 1.5 speed and to have it read to them,
sure.
right? Because I started reading again, and this is honestly just an epiphany that has occurred to me in the past month or so as I started over in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is one of those scriptures that I kind of just, I find excuses not to read it
right.
because it's not as quick and easy just to
sure.
The storyline is
a little bit of
harder.
A slog.
Yeah, to go along. I mean, you read the New Testament and the miracles that Jesus is doing, and it's just, it gives you that, what is it, to the sense of this is a miracle. This is the Son of God. This is awe-inspiring. You know, you get the hairs on the back of your neck standing up when he heals a blind man or when he raises the daughter of Jairus.
Right.
And, but in the Old Testament, it's like cities are being wiped out and people are being evil and they're being destroyed. The flood is covering the earth, which is an amazing, crazy, and sad story. And so with these happening, I'm starting to read it line by line and trying to figure out, okay, where am I on this side of our time frame today? Am I one of those that is going to enter the ark? Because there was very few.
Huh?
And, or am I one that's making fun of Noah for building an ark?
It's a good question. I always, yeah, what would I do, you know, if I was in those situations? We all love to think, well, I'd be the one that, you know, believed Noah. But there's definitely things in my life where I was like, oh, no, you know, I railed on this as being a bad thing, and then it turns out to be this wonderful thing, and I was on the wrong side of it. And I think I think that's human nature. But I think the difference is being able to recognize that this was a good thing to support. This was a good a benefit to me, and I was wrong. And I think if you can say you're wrong, and it's difficult to do, I hate to do it. You know, people will defend their opinion to the death and not say I was wrong. And so I imagine how many of those people that were drowning in the flood were screaming at that point to get on the ark.
Right.
You know, let me on, please, please, please. And I was wrong. I was wrong, but then it's too late. So being able to recognize those situations early and have that debate with yourself early is probably good. So I wouldn't totally discount what Elon's doing as the works of a crazy man. Is it wild? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it nutty? Yeah. You know, would I do it? Yeah, probably. I'd probably launch some stuff into space if I had that at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to Central Valley, California and visited our friends, they've got a 3-year-old daughter and coolest little kid. And her favorite thing to do is watch rocket launches, because you can see, and we watched one of the SpaceX rockets launch. From where they live, you can see it launch.
Wow.
So I was here watching it on my phone, and Rachel stepped outside and watched it launch live. And so we were watching the same rocket launch, one live and one from camera.
Uh-huh.
You could see the glow in the sky and the rocket trail and all of that. It was a cloudy night, so I could see better than her because I could see the video on the rocket.
Yeah.
Anyway, this 3-year-old just gets a kick out of what you can watch these YouTube videos that are 20 minutes long of just compilations of rocket launches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most, she is just enthralled by it, loves it. It's awesome. It's so cool to the tech, and you can see all the, was when they compile them all together, you see rocket launches from like the 80s versus rocket launches today. And you can see how they've gotten more efficient. They're a different shape. They're the rigs that keep them vertical have gotten slimmer and trimmer and smaller. And then you watch, you know, Elon's rocket boosters come back and land. And so you can kind of see the evolution of rocket launches in 20 minutes. And it was cool to sit with her and watch them. And I think she just loves the fire and the smoke and then watching this thing fly, and then it moves on to the next one. But, you know, to see the technology that's involved, how it's evolved and changed, is because we're launching rockets into space.
Yeah.
So if we weren't interested in doing that, then it would have stopped. Like I said, as soon as we learned how to keep the rain off our heads, architecture and construction would have stopped. That's far enough. That's as far as we need to go. And so when we got to the moon, that's far enough. That's as far as we need to go. When we were able to launch satellites, that's it. You know, now it's like, well, can we go further? Let's pick one. Let's go to Mars, you know? And that's exciting. That's super cool. Is it necessary? I don't know. That's debatable. That's debatable. But do we benefit from it? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to make something clear for the record. I admire Elon Musk. I don't despise him. I don't think he's putting himself out there to be a prophet. I don't think he's claiming that, that's the case, that he is humanity's salvation. I think he's doing what he understands to be the best prospect for humankind.
I think he sees himself as being a special, in a special position.
Yeah.
To be able to do what he does. And so he's like, I'm going to do it. He could hoard the money and do, you know,
and has
buy himself houses.
Sure. And has done many things on an altruistic level that show that he's not just in it for himself. Like, for example, the lending of Starlink to Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
or the purchasing of Twitter.
At a loss.
At a loss to maintain the ability for people to speak their mind and not banning them or deplatforming individuals that are totally railing against him and the Republican Party or anything that...
Go on, seek out the bots, get rid of the bots. Let's make this less fake and manipulated.
Yes, yeah. And getting back to, he wants to connect humanity. He wants to... He was one of the people that was very cautious about the release of AI in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he was very upset. I remember the interview when OpenAI released. He
called for it to stop.
Yes.
Right? Let's push pause.
Yeah.
Stop.
And then it didn't. And so, you know, what do you got to do? You got to join in and try to rein it in a little bit with an alternative.
Sure.
That will help people use it responsibly. Grok. Have you used Grok?
Yeah. It's the one I prefer.
I do too.
Yeah.
I've only recently started using it and I prefer it. It is very... just simple, easy, but it feels more realistic.
Yeah, it feels more human.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but it feels more human.
Yeah. And it's, for as new as it is, I mean, it's pretty amazing how far it's come.
Pretty cool.
So I'm not downgrading any of the benefits that we've received from his innovations. I think that he is one of the most brilliant minds of this century and will... History will be written,
right.
And he will have a very favorable chapter in his name. I think favorable, meaning he did good for humankind, yeah. Regardless of ultimately not pursuing God for our salvation here on this earth and fulfilling earth's purpose until we ultimately return to God through Christ's second coming, right?
Yeah.
I think that religious individuals often get similarly off the rails when they're looking for the timing of the second coming. They're trying to calculate the date of the second coming, and they're searching the scriptures diligently, and they're spending a lot of their time and effort trying to figure that out. And I think that's just as misguided as trying to colonize Mars, because it doesn't matter when Christ comes the second time. What matters is, are we going to be ready when that bus hits us? Because that's our second coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so instead of trying to calculate this date and prophesy it to other people, why don't you just figure out about how to get your life in order, treat people well, and learn the ultimate lesson that is being taught repeatedly in the Old and New Testament and other scripture. Right. Of course, you and I believe in modern day scripture and prophets, and that it's that communication from God continues to happen, that we're all entitled to individual inspiration through prayer with God, and that if you focused on that, God's not going to say, okay, now if you just pray a little bit longer, I'll let you know what month Christ is going to come. All right?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint.
Yeah, it's not that. The timing of his coming, I don't think, is nearly important as the preparedness of us.
Oh, well, sure, because
right
that's
now
what determines the ultimate result.
Yeah.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope,
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
El Dorado broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Special Olympics, Las Lavas, Gentiva Hospice, True Med Aesthetics, Fostering Hope, Yuma, Daniel Dorn, and Raw Aesthetics and Performance. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Ashley at yumachamber.org. That's Ashley at yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
When he comes, it's only the start of, well, now we're going to turn it back to you and see how you lived your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judgment day, right? So I was having this conversation with a friend just the other day about how one of the reasons we're seeing everything we're seeing with people kind of losing their minds online and devoting themselves to causes that aren't necessarily positive to the world and things, and kind of taking on these ideologies that are destructive, is we're more
like
willing.
What, are you talking about more like what? Just
for an example, you know, ICE and ICE out and kind of screaming.
Okay.
At people screaming at each other, yeah, over things that are external to them.
Yeah. Choosing, you know, sides.
Choosing sides. And choosing a tribe. Looking at the actual problem or the actual solution. It's just digging in and screaming at other people. And one of the reasons I listened to a therapist once online who talked about, Jordan Peterson talked about it. The reason that we're susceptible to do that is because it's easy to see flaws in other people and in systems and other things, and much harder to see the flaws in ourselves.
And it's more painful to see it in ourselves.
Yes, and it's more painful to work on it. So to avoid working on myself, I'm going to pick a problem external to me, and I'm going to work on that, mm-hmm, whether it's global warming or ICE or immigration or religion, whatever it is, I'm going to work on something external to me because that's easier than working on myself. So I'll ignore my broken systems to try to go fix a system that I believe is broken and turn it on that. So I'll turn all my energies onto making sure your house is clean.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, mine's a dump.
Right.
And we do that. We absolutely do that. We like to think of ourselves. I like to think of myself as not having any flaws, and all the flaws I see in the world are because of other people and other things, and I'm not a part of that. And that's kind of our nature. And the danger in that is if you get enough of those people together, is nobody's working on the real problem, right? We're all working on the external, what we see as the cause of the problem. And going back to the Bible, you know, I'm going to complain about the mote in your eye and not realize that I've got a beam sticking out of mine.
Right.
You know, and it's that, so it's been forever.
And for those, you know, with the New World Translation, I think it's a small splinter in my eye.
A mote is a small speck or a splinter. And then a beam is a, you know,
piece of wood.
Yeah. I've got a 2x4 sticking out of my eye. And because, yeah, you don't like to look at yourself, and it's harder to change yourself. Or we see it as harder to change ourselves. And so it's kind of a Band-Aid for my problems to turn around and focus on the problems of somebody else. Here's an underserved community of the world. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do good for them. I'm going to help them. And meanwhile, I'm neglecting anything in myself that could probably use improvement.
Right.
And so we're susceptible to that as human beings. Is the problem's never me. The problem's always you.
Right.
And so that's so I, one of the things I like about Elon is he's saying, you know, I'm going to focus on these solutions. I wonder what, has he talked about his religious belief at all? I don't know that I know what he believes as far as God.
I don't either. If I had to guess.
Is he an atheist? Is he?
And just mining from, I've watched, you know, hours upon hours of interviews and mainly new products coming out and explaining those. But yeah, when people try to sit him down and say, what is this purpose of colonizing Mars? It seems to me that he's more agnostic.
Okay.
But that there is some order to the universe. That's what he would come across.
Does he believe in a higher power?
I don't know, Martin. Look it up. See what Elon Musk's religious stand is.
Yeah, just curious.
What does that mean? Do you know?
What's a cultural Christian?
Someone who values Jesus' teachings but isn't traditionally religious.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a Christian, but maybe doesn't subscribe to a organized religion or church.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think he just he espouses Christ's teachings, but he doesn't necessarily accept Christ as a Messiah.
Like he looks up to him,
like he
values
says,
him.
He says, yes, he did a good thing for society. That would be a good thing for society to follow along in his footsteps. He was not necessarily the Son of God who we need to worship in order to get in heaven.
Martin's got more. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So he does believe in Jesus.
Well, I mean, I think he believes in
historical
figure.
Or he believes that following Jesus' teachings maybe leads to a better life.
Society.
To a better society. Yeah, I think that'd be pretty hard to argue with.
Well, there's plenty of people that do.
I know, but I find it hard.
Okay, well, I want to switch topics here. Let's get into things you hate.
Wow.
The thing you hate. Hate.
That's a big shift.
Yeah, it is. You know what? I'm spontaneous.
Well, I certainly don't hate Jesus. But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was talking about legacy and the legacy we leave behind.
Uh-huh.
You know, because we're all going to die. We're all going to be gone. And
was
everybody's
it our podcast?
No, it wasn't your podcast. I don't listen to your podcast.
Oh, yeah. But
you'll have to send it to me one day. I'll follow it. The legacy that we leave behind is really all we leave behind. And eventually, you know, every gravestone goes unvisited. You know, that's somebody said that once. And so eventually everyone's forgotten about at some point, except for a few people. And so the conversation was, do you think, you know, the name Hitler's been invoked quite a bit lately
mm-hmm.
in our culture? And do you think he gets excited about that his name is used still today, probably daily, maybe even more than Jesus's name in today's cultural conversations? Does that bring him, is he excited? Would he be happy about that? Or would he be disappointed at what his name means? And so I don't know if it's necessarily something I hate. I hate Hitler. So that's why it came to mind. But as far as, you know, something that, you know, trivial that I hate, you know,
nothing that happened on your trip to California. Had you seen any transformations? You've been to California many times throughout your youth and growing up. Have you seen any transformations impressed you or that just... Or the contrary, that
I just don't understand what California's problem is. Well,
it seems like all of the individuals, when you speak to them, they understand that it's declining rapidly.
Oh, I wish we did this. I wish we did that. And I'm like, well, why isn't that
translated into votes?
Yeah, why isn't that translated into votes? Why isn't it translated into programs that aren't self-destructive?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot support a society that takes more than it contributes. You just can't. It doesn't work. And, you know, what you see in California is you have a lot of people that are on the regulation side of things. We need regulation and we're going to create regulations and we're going to form regulations. We're going to enforce regulations and fewer people that are on the production side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the rulemaking side of things, and then there's the actual living and production side of things. And I don't, and they seem so disjointed. It seems like the people making the rules have no idea what it takes to produce anything.
Yeah.
And the producers keep voting for those people. Maybe. Or is it a fact that the actual constituency of California is actually made up of the people that are producing the regulations? So that is their constituency, and the producers are very few, and they're not their constituency.
I don't get it either, but I meet regularly with people that have come from California, and they've moved from California because it becomes unsustainable or just too aggravating to live there.
Yeah.
But will still rail against the types of politics that are here and support the type of politics that are there. And so they don't make
disjointed. I don't.
Yeah, they don't make
the
connection. They're like,
that.
California is just the people, the neighborhoods have gone downhill. The prices have skyrocketed. You can't do anything. You can't build anything. You can't own a business. So we're here. And then they start railing against the Trump administration.
Right.
And as if that's a universal view that I should adopt. They just assume that I adopt that. And some get confused. They're like, why are you flying that flag out there? Don't you think that's a little bit, like a disjointing as far as your political beliefs and you're ostracizing some of the Democrats out there? And I thought, that's a sad state of affairs.
You're talking about the American flag.
Yes.
You guys have the biggest in town.
We've got a giant American flag out there. What's the size of our American flag, Martine? It's a 30-foot flag.
Yeah, 30-foot in the long direction?
Yes.
Wow, that's...
It's a big flag.
That's incredible.
And
so there's people that ask you and think that doesn't represent...
They think that it represents the Republican Party.
Wow.
And so they think that what we're doing there is we're putting ourselves out there as, hey, you know, we're Republicans, we do business, and you're welcome to do business here, but you're going to be entering into that type of atmosphere. And I've had people bring that up, like, don't you think that's a little bit on the fringe? And I think I don't want to live in a society where flying the American flag puts me out there as an outsider that's discriminatory against anybody else. I want the American flag to represent anybody that wants to contribute, anybody that wants to be productive is welcome. And
it does.
That's what I'm trying. That is the message that I'm putting out there. Freedom for all, for any religion, for any political belief. Now, just don't impose it upon me, and I won't impose mine upon you, and right. That's what freedom truly is. But when people think freedom means we have to have universal health care and universal housing and universal living wages.
And those all sound like great things. Those all sound like great things, but,
sure, but
how do you support that system? And I think that's where we've gotten.
You make
in California.
Others pay for the housing. You make others provide the health care.
The reason housing is so expensive in California is because it's so expensive to build in California. The permits, the regulations, the over-designing, the over-installation of systems in the name of safety. But the converse of that is it makes it really expensive to build.
Mm-hmm.
So these homes that were recently destroyed in the Malibu fires, the cost to rebuild those homes under current California regulations is making it almost impossible to get it done. That's not even talking about the timelines of the permits, what those take. There's homes that are on the beach that were built in the 40s, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, that are still standing. But when they burned down, now to put a home on the beach, you need to build caissons that go down 60 feet, fill them with concrete. So you're talking $2 million, $3 million just to be able to build your foundation that this new home will sit on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you translate that across the rest of the house. You're talking about having to spend $10, $12 million to build a home that was probably, if you were to build that home today to the home that was originally there, is probably a $250,000 home. But to build the same home there now is $12 million. So it just makes it almost impossible to live there unless you make it insane amounts of money. I don't know how people live there. And every time I'm there and, you know, I'm not visiting, you know, the inner cities, you know, I'm visiting the tourist locations, right? Nobody who lives there, nobody who works there, nobody who works there lives there. They all live 30 miles inland, drive over the mountain to come to work every day to make me feel like I'm in a luxury resort or something like that. None of them live there. They can't live there. And most of the reason for that is because of the extreme regulation that California puts on everything, that it puts on its fuel, that it puts on its mining, that it puts on forestry, that it puts on lumber, that it puts on contractors, architects, bankers. They regulate, but you can't get through the bureaucracy and come out with a product that will that's worth it. You know, you just can't. It doesn't pencil.
Yeah,
you can't fund it. You can't build it. Then on top of that, let's feed everyone for free. Let's house everyone for free. Let's send everyone to school for free. Let's do it all for free. Where does it, it just boggles my mind that anybody thinks that number one, anything's free. And number two, where are you going to get the money from? If everyone exits and says, I'm not putting money into that state anymore, into that program anymore, how are you going to fund it? Right. And so I think these are all things that sound really good because they get tied up with emotion, right? It gets tied up with morality and kindness and fairness. And you can't have all of that. There has to be a side of you that looks at the actual numbers.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus located at 2404 East 24th Street or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Parents, tired of conversations that go nowhere?
How was your day?
Fun.
With conversation starters from parenting.org, you can turn fine into finding help.
If you could change anything about your day, what would it be?
My friends, Emily and Piper, they won't talk to me. It's like I'm not even there.
Text CONVO to 51550 for weekly conversation starters and connect more with parenting.org from Boys Town.
Those headaches and stomach aches your child gets may be migraine. 10% of children and 28% of adolescents have migraine disease. Migraine at School can help. Visit migraineatschool.org, sponsored by the Coalition for Headache and Migraine Patients.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.